Our reading is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. No matter how excited we get about our faith or how disciplined we are in our prayers and Bible readings and meeting with other Christians, the reality of life is that we can still all feel very distant from God at times. Life's events, yes, sometimes the personal ones, sometimes the far removed ones, can just really shake our belief in God and his presence in our lives. Now, the Psalms are poems or songs which lead us back to worship God. And you know what? They are a great place to go when we're struggling with our relationship with God, because they reveal the truth of who he is. And I think for those of you who go to a church regularly, we can sometimes overlook the Psalms in that they're read in our services on a regular basis, at each service in most cases. And we don't actually dig any deeper, we say them, and that's powerful. But today we're going to focus on Psalm 111, Psalm 111, and just dig a little bit deeper into it, because like so many of the Psalms, it reminds us of just how amazing God is. You may find it useful, if you have a Bible, to have it in front of you and follow it with me. And you can be turning to the page as I continue to talk, because I'll start working through some of the verses in a little while. It's often said that the works of a person reveal the truths about a person. And that's certainly the case with humans. Whereas Psalm 111 reveals the truth about God. It describes, I think, very powerfully the works of God. And that points us straight back to God and who he is. Before I move on to the uplifting messages of the Psalms, I'd just like to deal with a couple of the verses which could be seen as problematic. They could lead us into a false understanding that God's love and provision is only for certain people. In verse 5, for example, it says, "He provides food for those who fear him." We know that God provides food for everyone. He did it from the very point he created the earth, as we see in the book of Genesis, that very first book of the Bible. Not so long ago, if you've been following these talks, we were looking at how the Israelites were fed by God in the desert with manna. And that's probably one of the things that was being referred to in this particular psalm. But you'll hopefully remember that the Israelites at that point were far from grateful to God. Many were not fearing God or respecting him, and yet he still provided for them, contrary to what the superficial meaning of verse 5 might suggest. In verse 6, we read that he has shown his people the power of his words by giving them the lands of other nations. The original Hebrew word translated here as lands can also be translated as heritage, which I think is important to note before we get too hung up on the painful and complicated matters of land rights, which so often cause wars and conflict. There's no doubt at all that this psalm is about God's promises to the Israelites. That's confirmed in verse 5 when we read about the covenant. God made several covenants, which is like a promise. The first covenant is recorded in the Old Testament book of Exodus, and it's made with Abraham. And that first covenant actually forms the foundation of all future covenants or promises. But this is no longer the case. This is no longer just a psalm for the Israelites and Jews, a promise that God will look after them above all others. Because when Jesus came along in the New Testament, he brought a new covenant, the assurance that God's deeds and works are for everyone, completely inclusive. So let's look now at what the psalm says to us about God and what it means for our relationship with him, for everyone's relationship with him. And I'm simply going to work my way through the verses in order. Our praise has to be wholehearted and public, verse 1. Wholehearted and public. Wow, certainly not something to be ashamed about or hide, which I think some of us can do sometimes. God's work in verse 2 translates from the original Hebrew word as his deeds, what he does for us and the things he creates. And we're encouraged to ponder these works, as in spend time contemplating them or even studying them. Now, everyone does that in different ways according to our personalities and interests. For some, that will be through academic theological studies. But it might be through art, through science, and of course, simply reading the Bible. Our response to the incredible works of God should be that natural desire to learn more about the doer or creator, in much the same way that you're probably going to be drawn to the biographies or autobiographies of people that you're really interested in. We should have a thirst for learning more and knowing more about that person, in this person, God. And we read in verse 4 that God made his wonders to be remembered. That's not necessarily in terms of them being lost and becoming history. It's about us needing to remember God's works rather than putting them to the back of our mind, forgetting them, ignoring God's presence or denying them. That verse goes on to tell us that God does all things from grace and compassion. We don't deserve what he does for us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. That's what's meant by grace. And there's nothing we can do to reject it. It's for all of us. It's for our well-being. And it's completely undeserved. Not dissimilar from verse 7, we read that God is faithful, just and trustworthy. It's not easy to find those things in humans, is it? But they are there always in God. We can rely on him. Now, the good news about what God provides gets even better as we work our way from verse 9 to the end. God provides redemption, that absolute assurance that he will rescue his people. At the time of Psalms, many would have understood this promise to be God rescuing his people, them, from their enemies. And this was certainly the case. But even back then, many years before Jesus, God was promising the people an eternal rescue. And you can see that through the many references in Psalm 111 to the forever, to the eternity. Today, when we read the psalm, we read it with the knowledge that God came in the form of man as Jesus to bring about the biggest act of love and rescue ever, dying on that cross to free me and you from oppression and sin. And so we come to the end as we're urged to fear God. That's not in the way that we've come to understand fear, or some people may fear their human fathers in a way that's very, very unhealthy and breaks up relationships. It's not that kind of fear. It's not a fear that damages or harms us. It's the absolute opposite. It's simply a recognition of who God is and what he's done for us. And that should instinctively bring about a response from us of respect reverence and awe. If you want to experience that fear, respect, reverence and awe, and I'm sure you all have, just stand in nature and do that pondering. And for me, I find the most powerful experience of God is in the mountains or by the sea, as I look at the incomprehensible beauty and vastness. But you can look at absolutely anything in nature. You can look at the sky, the trees, the human body. Sometimes I just look at my hands, and my hands aren't great, and they have many faults, and they sometimes fail me. But wow, look at the detail, look at the precision, even of one that's not working fully, perhaps because of how I've treated it. We should never stop looking, studying, responding, and praising. Amen.